Blog Talk Radio.
Glorious and victorious Sunday morning it is. May. Praise God. Can you believe it? It is now May the 24th, 2020. You have entered into the very epitome of God's tabernacle to elevate, to motivate, to exhortate the power of his anointing. For we know that it is the power of his anointing that breaketh the yoke. It breaketh every chain. And we praise God this morning on this edition of New and Improved and Increased Latitude Manner of Restoration, brought to you over the very airways, the byways, and the highways of the Blog Talk Radio Network, heard on all continents around the world. And truly, we praise God and we thank God for this unique opportunity to go forth in his word through the power of wisdom and instruction. And we know that it is the anointing of God that breaketh the yoke. You've got your host this morning, Abby A. Subnote is your Motor City Maharani. It's been a long while. It's been a long while through much trial, through much tribulation. I am determined more now to be a presence of a voice of advocacy, crying out in the wilderness to tell the church it's time to get up, get out, and get right according to the word of God. Here lies the power of the manner of restoration. It's time for us to be restored back to our uniqueness, to our faith of unity, to our faith and our placement of being in love with our first love, which our first love shouldn't be family, shouldn't be co-workers, shouldn't be friends. It should be God. He should be the center, the very plenitude of our worship and of our praise and adoration. So we just thank God for coming to you this morning. And I give praise unto the Most High God. That's right. You know, God dwells in the midst of praises. And when you praise him, he hears you. He responds to you. He gives focus and lateral attention to you. And let me tell you something. I've been through the storm, but nevertheless, I can tell you that he brought me and he kept me, and he will continue to bless and prosper me and all that is concerning me, because I have set my affection on things above and not on the things of this world. Here's the restoration. Behold, the world passes away and the things that are in it. This is why Jesus told us to set our affections on things above, because why? The things above are reflective of the eternal things that cannot perish. They are not tangible. They're not capable of being corrosive and corrupted by the hands and the actions and the deeds of mankind. They are incorruptible. Why? Because they are of God. And we know that in the beginning, there was God. There is God. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us. Jesus is the earthly representation of God the Father, coming to mankind to bring mankind the message of redemption, the message of restoration, that he did not have to continue on in the manner in which he lived. So when we talk about the manner of restoration, many of you are thinking about manner. We talk about manna. Manna is the very best cuisine that mankind could ever encounter in this world. Why? Because it is the food of the angels wrought by the hand of God. Why? God's mercy, God's loving kindness, his omnipotence, his omniscience, his omnipresence is encased within the manna. So the manna brings forth and escalates the capacity of restoration. Restoration means being restored, revived, refreshed, renewed. That's right, because God would have us to be as such. And it's time for us to go forth in the power of his anointing, because great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God and the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces. For lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them and pain as a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind, and we have heard, so have we seen, in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish it forever, Selah. Let me tell you something. We love and we believe and we serve a mighty God, an almighty God. Mighty means exuberance of power that cannot be challenged nor questioned. Almighty means a power that cannot be made subjected to the things that are seen and even the things that are unseen. Almighty gives referendum to the power of sovereignty, of superiority. And as we always have said, that God possesses the three O's in his equation. Omnipotent, he's all-powerful. Omniscient, all-knowing. Omnipresent, at every place and at every given time, because he is God. And God is a spirit. And they that worship the Lord must worship him in spirit and in truth. And as we see the greatness of his presence in the very aspects of the worldly circumference of things, we have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. Well, we are that temple. Don't look at those brick and mortar structures as being the temple of God, because no, we are the temple. We are the embodiment of God's presence. That's right. And this is the reason why when God comes back to take his church, he's not talking about an organization. He's not talking about a building. He's talking about a people, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, that we should show forth the praises of him that brought us out, that delivered us out of darkness into the marvelous light. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgment. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks concerning her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. And we know that true children of the Most High God don't die. They are translated, just as Elijah was taken up in the whirlwind, and God translated him and took him to the kingdom of heaven. That's right. And even so, Enoch, these are the two individuals, according to the word of God, that never saw the transcendency of death. They were just translated. They were changed from the natural to the spiritual and taken into the kingdom. That's right. And we know that to be absent in the body means to be present with the Lord. That means we are asleep, but for a season. But when Jesus makes his second return to the earth and you're ready, you have believed him unto repentance. You have served him in a spirit of humility and righteousness. You have been obedient according to the word. We're not perfect. We will never be perfect as long as we dwell in the flesh. But you have believed him unto righteousness, so shall ye be spared from eternal separation from God the Father. The dead in Christ, those of us who have mourned and bereaved loved ones that have made their transitions. Well, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them in the cloud. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So this is our comfort when we have to see our loved ones make their transition. This is the confidence of knowing that one day, someday, we will all be together in that beautiful city of God. That's right. And this is our confidence. This is the manner of restoration to prepare you for the journey that will lead you into life everlasting. And we're just thankful to the Lord that he has given us this opportunity. So many of us emailed, have communicated. Where have you been? Let me tell you, I've been on the battlefield doing what was needful and necessary to be done for others. And that sometimes you have to realize It's not all about you. Sometimes God would have you to go in another path when you're ministering to others, whether it's to someone who's ailing, as it's been with me, as a way of comforting them and nurturing them back to health. How will mankind know that he exists unless we show them the fruits of our righteousness through Jesus Christ? And the only righteousness that we have is through Jesus Christ. All of our good will never be good enough. All of our right will never be righteous enough. It's only through the love of Jesus Christ and through the power and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. That's right. And this is what we have been doing on this end. So I'm back here now on the field. That's right, going forward to make sure that the people of God have the equipment, have the right initiations, the right arsenal to make the journey and to make the journey successfully. Are we going to have times that we're going to fall short? Yes. Are we going to have times where we may doubt ourselves as able to make this journey? Yes. Are there going to be times that we're going to question our own existence? Are there going to be times that we're going to question the very epitome of whom it is that we are in God? Yes. We're going to have all of these particular circumstances to occur. But as David said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And he was the king. God was preparing him for kingsmanship when he went through these various trials and tribulations. He said, but the Lord, he heareth them and delivereth them out of them all. He didn't say a few, a couple, or some. He said, out of them all. And because God will do this, he has structured us in a way where we are in a placement in him that we cannot be moved. And just listen, as a word of encouragement, I want you to absorb this word. Remember what Jesus told us, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Go to Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, and let's go to the 18th verse to get a fullness of understanding from the 19th verse. And I want you to underline this anytime that you feel yourself feeling a bit questionable, wavering, uncertain. Know this. Remember ye, not the former things. Remember this. When you become a believer in God through Jesus Christ, it's the only way we can get to God is through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father except by him. Don't look back at your past. Look what he brought you from and look where you're going to. Don't look back at the past with lament, sorrow, anger, and resentment, because he that is in Christ is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. He said, neither consider the things of old. Here's the 19th verse, and I want you to underline this verse. Behold, I will do. This is God speaking. This is not Isaiah. This is God. Isaiah recorded these things. This is God speaking. He said, behold. When God says behold, that means take record, take inventory, pay close attention. I, and he is the great I am, I will do a new thing. He didn't say an old thing and renovate it to become something new. He said, I will. When I say will, it means it can't be questioned. It won't be changed. Circumstances won't change it. Attitudes won't change it. People that are naysayers and haters can't change it. Do you understand? He says, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. When something springs forth, it emits. It goes with a power and with a precision pressure that is both apparent and evident. He says, I will do a new thing. Wow. It will spring forth. And here is this. And you won't even know it. You will say, where did this come from? This is the very promise of God being fulfilled within us, for us, and because that he loves us so much, that he wants what is best for us, despite how we may not see it at that time. He says, I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. It doesn't get any more extensive than that. A way in the wilderness. Have any of you ever seen, for your own sake of recollection, a wilderness pattern? A wilderness pattern is a broad spectrum where there's very little, next to no promise of establishment there. No commercial businesses there. No aspect of true scenic or picturesque beauty there. Sometimes not even any people there. But here God, the Almighty, the creator of mankind, that spoke this universe into existence, that spoke everything that we see as the way of creativity into existence, saying, I will make a way in the wilderness. This world is stylized as the wilderness. This wilderness is the world. He says, I will make a way in your wilderness. Where is your wilderness now? Is it where you live? Is it where you work? Is it where you commute? Is it where you communicate? Is it with your family? He says, I will make a way in the wilderness. That means he will pave the way and he will structure the establishment needed and necessary for you to not only survive, but for you to thrive. See, God doesn't just want us to survive. Are you listening this morning or this afternoon based upon your time zone? Because wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty there. The questionability factor is not the time zone, it's the elementation of time. He says, I will make a place for you in the wilderness. Thou anointest my head with oil. King David said it. God made a place for him in the wilderness. He says, I anointed my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And here this man was running from his enemies. The very man that accelerated him upon the plateau of greatness was the very man that envied him so to the point he wanted to kill him. But God made a path for David, who he had anointed and soon to appoint as being king, that his cup ran over, and that God showed him his greatness and mercy throughout the days of his life. So God has promised to make a way for us out of no way. So what, your job has been shut down? So what, your bills are past due? God said in his word that no good thing will he withhold from those who walketh upright. Then he told us to delight ourselves in him, and he will give us the desires of our heart. Jesus gave positive affirmation saying, what? Ask what you will in my name, and the Father shall give it unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You need to seek God, to please God, to worship God, to remember the things of God. He says, and all these things, that means your finances, your health, your family, your job security, your prosperity, all these things, your spiritual growth and initiation will be added unto you. He didn't say taken from you. He said added unto you. And Jesus even gave another affirmation. He said, behold, I came that ye may have life, and that more abundantly. And so God is saying here through Isaiah, the witness of prophet Isaiah, that he will make a way in the wilderness, and even more impressive and exclusive, rivers in the desert. Have you ever seen a river of water in the desert? No, you haven't. People that are known to have been in desert-type situations have stated that they had what was called a mirage. It's an imaginary picture or hallucination of water because their bodies were so dehydrated. But God says, I will take and put rivers. Rivers are non-ending. They flow into streams, into tributaries that end up into the ocean. He said, I will make sure that you are replenished. I will make sure that you prosper. I will make sure that you not only survive, but you thrive. When you thrive, you're constantly being elevated. You're constantly being promoted. You're constantly prospering in the midst of it all. Even in this particular time in which we're existing, the time that's really trying men's souls. That's right. The very elementation of an illness that cannot be seen with natural eyes. That's a known enemy that has claimed so many individuals. Many of them recovered and so many didn't. God is yet in control. And he promised to protect his people. And the word of God tells us. That's right, when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, when they were in Egypt, held captive, and God spoke to Pharaoh and told Pharaoh to let my people go, but then Satan hardened his heart toward God. And God allowed it because God was going to get the glory out of the situation. And even here and now, God is getting the glory out of what has occurred. Well, how does God get the glory? Because now people are focused unto him. They know that their salvation is not based upon a brick and a mortar building. Are you listening this morning? It's not based upon the structured limitations of an organization or of a doctrine or of a tenet. People now know that God is a spirit and that they must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God took a wilderness situation and showed his hand. Because when God allowed the plagues to come upon the Egyptians, what happened? The children of Israel were right there. But because they had the blood of the Lamb applied to their hearts, applied to their minds, the death angel passed them. The plague passed them. The very derivatives of negative factors that were coexistent in that society bypassed them. Why? Because they had the blood of Jesus. And remember something. Many of you say, well, Jesus didn't come there. Let me tell you something. Jesus spake unto those who were literally having a controversial conversation, and they were saying, well, who is he? And when he must be Moses. Jesus set the record straight. He says, I was before Moses was. And you just remember this. He was before Moses was in spirit form. Remember the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Where they were in a fiery hot furnace, and when Nebuchadnezzar, because he was so lifted up in a spirit of pride, wanted to break them down because they wouldn't bow down to him and worship him, and he told them to heat the furnace seven times what, or seven times hotter than normal, and when his guard looked into the fire, he said, wait a minute, I only see three men, I see four. And he said, the fourth looks like the image of the Son of Man. That's the Son of God. And this is Jesus, because in the beginning was the Word, and with God, it was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning. That Word was Jesus. God spake him into existence. He came through the birth of a woman by the name of Mary. That Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and his name also being called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So here God says he's going to take a wilderness situation and make it work for our good. And this is the promise of God in this day and time with the manner of restoration. God is not slack concerning his promises. His promises are kept. His promises are true, and they are faithful, and they will continue on to be faithful as such. All we have to do is trust him, believe in him, and obey him. For it's better to obey than to sacrifice. With all the good that we think we do and that God gives recollection to those things, he says, obey me. If you love me, obey my word. Obey my commandments. And when we show obedience, we're showing reverence. God gives special attention to those who obey him. We're not perfect. Sometimes we stray away. We fall by the wayside. But we need to get back up and get back on the path in which we belong to reach mankind for Jesus Christ and through the authority of his name. Not through our names. Not through our recognitions, but through the name of Jesus Christ, the name that is recognized, from which every knee must bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And this is where we are here with the manner of restoration. We're going to get ready to go into our biblical teaching. We have our moment of exhortation, and in which the God received his glory through the power of the reading of his word. And remember, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. This is where and how we thrive through the spirit world. As we live in the natural world, we have to have certain provisions, but in the spiritual realm of things, we have to have certain provisions as well. And we must make sure that we're having the harmonious balance of both. But put the spirit man first, and then the natural man has to follow. Thank you, Father God, for this time of biblical instruction that we are going to partake of your word, that you be glorified. that your word be exalted, Lord. And we know that your word will not return unto you void, but will accomplish the purpose in which it was set out for. We're asking that you bless every heart, every mind that is tuned in to Manna of Restoration, Lord, and let them receive the greatness of your presence and the power of your anointing. For we know that it's the anointing of God that breaketh the yoke, and the anointing is wrought by the Spirit of God. And we're asking, God, would there be any afflicted at this time, Lord, that are suffering and from any degree of physical ailment, Lord, that you touch, heal, and deliver them according to your loving kindness and your tender mercy, Lord. We're asking that those who are striving against the adversity of financial questionability and hardship, God, that you behold and be as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God, our provider, and make a way in the wilderness for them, Father God. We're asking that you bless each and every heart and mind, their households, and all that they do, that thy name be glorified in thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. We thank you, God, for just being God, and beside you, there being none other. And thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. And we're just so glad today to have you joining in, because whether there be two or three gathered together in his name, he is in the midst of us. And when his name is glorified, we're going to prosper. When his name is being recognized, we're going to sprawl forth like the cedar of Lebanon. That's right, like the Green Bay tree. Go with me to the sixth chapter of the book of Matthew, reading a very familiar passage of scripture. I know many of you know where we're going with this, but sometimes God would have us to revisit back the pathways of old to get us to that level where we can see the evidence of that new thing that he's doing with us and within us. And sometimes in doing that, we have to go retrace our steps backward to get the fundamental aspects of where he would have us to be at this present time. And seeing that God is doing a new phase in our lives and in society, we need to go with the flow and be that living example that he would indeed have us to be. So go with me to the Gospel of Matthew. There are four Gospels, as you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew was the Gospel according to the people of the Jewish lineage. That's right, of the people of the Hebrewic lineage. Why? Because the Hebrews were deemed as the very original people of God. Why were they deemed? Because of racial invariations? No, it wasn't about racial invariation. It was the fact that during the time of civilization, the Hebrewic people were the only civilization that believed in a monotheistic God. When he said mono means one. They were the only civilization that believed in one God, one universal creator, while the other civilizations, the Hittites, the Assyrians, and the Egyptians, believed in polytheism. When we use the term polytheism, we mean multiplicity of gods. You know, even the Greeks and the Romans, they believed in a multiplicity of gods. They believed in the God of the household, the God of the harvest, the God of war, a God of love. Everything in nature, in society, had a deity that was linked to that particular person. And the point in the matter of perspective is that God is a universal God. He is the all-powerful, omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent God. So there is no multiplicity. And the Hebrews, the Jews, were the only civilization that regarded him as such. And this is why they were called the chosen people. But however, when Jesus Christ, the manifestation of God, came unto mankind, there was a definite controversy that was stirred up. You know, the very people that knew God refused to accept Jesus Christ as being the impersonage, the Son of God. And as a result of that, they are the ones who betrayed him. But it was all according to the word, because of mankind's sinful state of eternal separation from God, Jesus had to come, because the scripture tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes upon him should not perish but have everlasting life. So Christ came. He was the man on the mission, and the mission was accomplished. And because the mission was accomplished, We now have the privilege and the opportunity to receive him and the power of his redemption. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So he paid in full the price that we should have paid. But nevertheless, God in his infinite mercy sent his son, not to condemn the world, but to save it. And when Jesus, the impersonation of God, the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us, went about in society, he came across various types of individuals, people that had been considered as rejects of society, people that had been cast out as derelicts, people that had been treated as inferiors. Jesus went to them because why? The self-righteous, the religious, were nothing but hypocrites, and they had established their own righteousness. And here it says that all of our righteousness is a filthy rags. And here we had the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, which were the intellectuals of society. The Pharisees were the self-righteous religious organizations. The Sadducees were the philosophers and the doubters and the agnostics. And then we had the scribes, the intellectuals of society. So these three sects of people considered themselves to be righteous in their own capacity. Well, Jesus didn't come to call the righteous unto repentance. He came to call the sinners, those who were lost, who could admit that they were lost and that they needed his help, unto repentance. Because people that already think that they're in the light, they don't need the light to be turned on because they think that they see everything and they have capacity to gain the momentum to attain everything. So he came to those who knew that they were lost, they had a problem, and they wanted to resolve that problem through the power of his presence. So here we see Jesus had went about and taught. He taught the disciples, and he taught those who were not disciples. He taught them valuable lessons, lessons about God, lessons about life. He taught them wisdom. And even so, remember, in the fifth chapter, he even said, the 44th and 45th verse, he says, "But I say unto you," Jesus said these things, "love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that despitefully hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." See? He gives all of those powerful instructions. Well, we'll get into that at a later time. But he gave some valuable life lessons. Why? He didn't say because you want to get back at them. The 45th verse says that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his son to rise on the evil and on the good and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, which what reward do you have? Do not even the publicans the same? That means, isn't it so the most wicked of men do the same things? They treat those good who treat them good. But when you go beyond the odds to go and ascribe to do what's right, you present a peculiarity that is not prevalent and present in today's society. You're showing them that you are functioning from a higher level and a higher frequency of your existence, and that frequency plugs you into G-O-D God. So he taught many valuable lessons in the previous chapters, but what we want to do is we want to go to the Lord's Prayer. I've had so many people to ask me, saying, "I don't understand. My prayers don't get answered. I prayed for things to happen, and they don't happen. How am I praying wrong?" Well, Jesus told us one thing that's really valuable. He said, now, you pray, you ask. He said, but many of you pray and you don't receive because you ask amiss. That means you're not direct with your prayers. Of course, God knows what you need before you even come to him with that need. But oftentimes, as a father takes pleasure in his child coming to him and laying upon his bosom and making a request, so does our Father God. Our Father God has feelings too. And he is indeed endeared to those who lay upon him and trust him and love him, who come to him directly. And this is what Jesus said, pray and pray directly. We don't have to go through these long methodologies of interpretation, trying to gain a crowd that people can recognize us and say, oh, didn't she make such a presentational prayer? God is not impressed with those types of behaviors. He wants us to be specific. direct, humble, and believe. That is the formula to getting your prayers answered. And when Jesus spake unto his disciples, let's go here. Let's start with the sixth, no, let's go to the fifth verse and we can just see a clear picture. Jesus said this, I didn't write not one scripture to this within the Holy Bible. Jesus wrote and stated this. He wrote it with his tongue, and it was recorded. And he spake these words, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners seen of men. Didn't we just say that? God is not impressed with that. And putting on floor shows does not get the job done. So Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. And your faith is operative upon your belief, your confidence, your humility, and your willingness to receive the higher things of God and to know that they come from him, and to him be the glory. He says, don't be as those people that put on fronts and try to gain recognition from mankind, because you have your reward with them. He says, verily I say unto you that they have their reward. Oh, people will say, oh my goodness, did you hear how he prayed, how she prayed? That's their reward, physical recognition. But did God hear them? No. The sixth verse says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Go into your secret place. How many of you saw that movie, The Prayer Room? She went into her secret place, and she prayed a prayer of faith, of gratitude, of humility, trusting God, and God answered her prayer. Into your closet, to your private place. Sometimes your private place is within your heart. You don't even have to say external words within you. So the Holy Spirit makes utterance of things we don't even know ought we to pray about and even how to pray, but the Holy Spirit maketh intercessions for us. This is how we ought to pray and to receive our prayers answered. It says, and when thou hast shut thy door, that means do it in secret, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. That means get into your quiet place and pray unto God and trust him. Be sincere, because he knows before we even get there. And be sincere. And because he knows the level of our trust in him and the pureness of our heart. Remember, the Beatitudes, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Well, God sees it. He recognizes it. And we will acknowledge you. And if we recognize God, he will acknowledge us. Jesus said in the seventh verse, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do. That means the world puts on vain repetitions so people can say, oh, my goodness, you hear all that he's saying, all that she's saying, they really put it out there. God is not glorified through that. For they shall be heard for their much speaking. No. Be ye, eighth verse, therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. You want a supportive scripture? Go to Romans 8 and 26, verse 27, for a supportive scripture. Ninth verse. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Jesus said, this is the manner in which you must pray to get an expeditious answer from God the Father. Ninth verse. Our Father, that means our Creator, which art. Which art means who is in heaven. That means you're in heaven and you rule the heavens. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means sacred, holy, reverence be thy name. See, no man walking this earth deserves a title or woman as being hallowed. None of us are hallowed. We are imperfect people that desire the presence and the operatives of a perfect God. Hallowed be thy name. That means holy. Reverent is thy name. The 10th verse, thy kingdom come. Jesus was the fulfillment of the kingdom that came to earth. He is the fulfillment. Thy will be done in earth. Because he's on earth now, in earth. You're on something, you're on top of it. But in means you're operative in it. Jesus was operative in the earth. He taught, he healed. He delivered. He baptized. He did it. He was the operation of God's hand in the earth. As thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. See, in heaven, the word has already been fulfilled. The earth waits to receive the fulfillment and the manifestation upon itself. You want support of scriptures? Go to Luke, the 22nd chapter, the 42nd verse. Go to Acts, the 21st chapter, the 14th verse, and even more so from the Old Testament. The Old Testament paves the way for the New Testament to be the manifesto of all things that were promised in Psalms 103 and verse 20. The 11th verse says, give us this day our daily bread. That means provide for us this day. You know we have to have a place to live, to call home. You know we have to have food to eat, clothes to wear, and biological provisions. Our Heavenly Father knows that. Look at the sparrows. God provides for them. The lilies of the field, God provides for them. How much more so than shall our Heavenly Father provide for us? He said, give us this day our daily bread. The 12th verse says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Okay? That means forgive us for our offenses that we've committed toward others as we forgive those who have committed offenses against us. Because unless we forgive those who have offended us, our Heavenly Father, this is another way that people's prayers are not answered. The name of our presentation this morning is Answers for Unanswered Prayers. Have you forgiven that person that stepped on your foot last year? Have you forgiven that person that didn't say hello to you 2 weeks ago? Have you forgiven that person who said a defaming statement to you 3 years ago? Well, until you forgive them, the Heavenly Father cannot forgive you. And this is the reason why so many prayers get unanswered. We're holding and harboring resentment and unforgiveness. We got to let go so that we can let God do the impossible and the miraculous in our lives. 13th verse, and lead us not into temptation. That means, please, Heavenly Father, don't let us be overtaken by evil, but deliver us from that evil, the weakness, because all of us have weaknesses in our lives. My weakness may be one thing, and your weakness is something else, but we all have them. If a man says he have no sin, he is a liar, and the love of the Father is not in him. So being honest and saying, Lord, give me strength to overcome the temptations that I may face, and deliver us, make a way out of nowhere to defend us from evil, protect us from all hurt, harm, and danger. That's what he's saying. For thine is the kingdom. That means this is your world. The scripture says that your earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, them and all they that dwell therein. For thine is the kingdom and the power. That means all power in heaven and earth was given to Jesus, but God the Almighty is the all-powerful. Again, he's omniscient, omnipotent, which means all-powerful. Omniscience means all-knowing, omnipotent, all-powerful. And omnipresent means in every place and every time. For you are supreme, you are sovereign God. And the power and the glory forever, that means eternally, you are God. And because you are God, I'm coming to you because I know that you hold the power in your hand to change my situation with one word. Everything changes over. If you need supportive scriptures for that, go to 2 Peter 2 and 9. Go to St. John, the Gospel of John 17 to 15, and 2 Thessalonians 3 and 3. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father, this is the 14th verse, will also forgive you. But the 15th verse, I just spoke to you and said, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, debts are trespasses, things that were offensive, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So you see how this goes? What you put out, you get back. The answer to unanswered prayers. We need to check ourselves. We need to look at ourselves circumspectly and to be honest with ourselves and ask God if there's any blemish within me. There's any unforgiveness within me. Thou knowest my heart. Forgive me. And as King David said, create within me a clean heart, renewing me a right spirit, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is what we need to do as getting answers to unanswered prayers. Check ourselves. And to be honest with God according to our faith and according to the word of God. We know 11th chapter in the book of Hebrews tells us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, the confidence of knowing who is in charge, what he possesses, and the capacity of him to do the impossible. It's our confidence. That is what our faith is built upon. Our faith is not built upon things we can see that are tangible. It's built upon the very testimony of those who have went through the situations and circumstances, and God made a way out of no way. This is where we stand, and this is what we do. Here with the manna of restoration, we're getting back to the old landmark where God would have us to be, where he can do the miraculous in our lives and on behalf of those who are trusting in him. And we are the mouthpieces. We are the fruits of his vine that are doing forth the work of his will, his word, and his way. And so in praying and believing God, trust God, doing God's will, cleansing your heart before God, and just being open and honest about what it is that you need, when you need it, and how you need it, God will guarantee so answer you. And we hope and pray that this word, this message, this word of knowledge has been a blessing to you. And listen, don't get sad, get glad. We're coming back next week with another powerful word with manna of restoration brought to you on the very airwaves of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Truly, I say to you, have a blessed and wonderful day. And finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. For God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we are able to ask and even think. Keep listening. Tell your friend, your neighbor, your family member to tune in. Any messages, any prayer requests, simply go to the Blog Talk Radio Network and inbox me, and I'll be sure to make sure that we take your prayer to Father God, who knows us and knows how much we can bear. Have a blessed and wonderful afternoon, evening, or morning, and know that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Be blessed.